I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And, oh boy, I'm...
Are you losing it over there?
You know, in the airplane of life, this morning, I've landed up, with the wheels up.
Yep. All right, anyway, joining us is Ray Castle-White and Rachel Gilmore of NATCA, which is one of those weird government acronyms.
And there was actually a little bit of a change, so I'm actually Marcus Miller with...
What?
I know, yep. I'm sorry that we missed that.
For you. Well, you look just like Ray.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. There was an amendment, and we had a full route that we had to give to you.
Oh, in other words, you stood still too long, didn't you?
Yeah.
That happens in this business a lot.
All right.
Anyway.
I see the uniform is definitely not regulation.
No. He's got a vest on. For those of you who are watching this, you can see this, but he's got a vest on with pins on it, and he let me hold it this morning. It's got to weigh 7 pounds.
Are we taking a bet on that? I said 4.5.
4.5? It weighs 4.9 pounds.
Okay. Yeah. See, closer without Close. Going over.
Oh, Price is Right rules.
Wait a minute. No, you said 4.5.
Yes, he closest to real without going over.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
Wow. And this young lady's just staring at us like, what?
Oh, yeah. No.
Who
taking
are these
it all in.
Filing it away for later use. She's not your supervisor, is she?
No. Supervisors here.
Oh.
It's not the NACA booth.
Now we get the straight skinny.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Talk to us about the life of an air traffic controller.
It's pretty fun. I've wanted to be a controller since I was in the 8th grade, so it's really cool to kind of achieve that goal.
How do you play air traffic controller when you're a kid? Do you sit inside a little box with a little, you know, a paper towel tube going, 5, 6, 7 heavy, turn left, heading 370,
yeah,
you know?
That's a great question.
Heading 370,
that's a good 370?
I mean...
Yeah.
Well, I started out doing flight simulators and stuff like that, and then as I got more in depth with like the flight simulator community, there was a thing called VATSIM. I don't know if you've heard of that, which is the Virtual Air Traffic Controller Simulation Network.
Oh boy!
And that's kind of how I started doing the air traffic control stuff. And then as I got older, I'm like, is this actually a job that I could do? You know, so I applied, and luckily I was picked up. Went to Oklahoma, and then here I am as a controller. It's pretty crazy.
Does it feel much different than the simulators?
It's pretty different. A funny little story about that. We didn't have Wi-Fi at my house whenever I was little, so my mom owned a bakery, and I would play the VATSIM simulator on my mom's work computer.
Oh.
So people would come in, buy some cupcakes, and then they'd be like, is he actually controlling air traffic over there? And I'd be like, oh, you know, all aircraft stand by, you know, sell them a cupcake, and then come back, and then give them the clearances.
That's funny.
You know, you talk about doing it online. There is a guy who's got a channel on YouTube, and I think his handle is Air Force 95.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do a lot of air traffic simulation on this, and it's just funny as hell.
Yeah.
Because everything that can go wrong pretty much does.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say that's actually good practice for an aspiring controller?
I would say it definitely allows you to improvise and adapt, and you know, it's as real as you want it to be in the simulated environment on VATSIM especially. Pilot Edge is a little bit more straight-laced. It's more like realistic to how you would do IFR clearances and pickup and flight following and things like that. It's primarily on the West Coast though, and I know Pilot Edge has a pretty big following here. They even let you practice flying into AirVenture before.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's pretty top-notch, and they get some of the pink shirts who volunteer their time.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to speak to that or not, but I understand it's actually quite difficult to get a controller job position, whatever, at Oshkosh. Talk mm-hmm. about that.
It's a highly selective group. I'm not entirely sure how that whole thing works. I don't know if you have an idea, Rachel, but...
Yeah, they put out a solicitation for the Central Service Area first, kind of aligned with where we are, and then they make selections based on have you done it before. So they tend to invite you back if you've done it. And then they'll bring new people in. They call them rookies. So they have these team structures that are really cool, and they kind of stay together throughout the years. They're familiar with their own operations together, how they work together. But yes, and you, only if you have a controlled tower operator certificate, so a CTO. Like, Marcus and I both work at a center, so we're not eligible to do it because we don't work in a tower.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, right. They have you stuffed in a cave instead of in a tower.
Yeah, it's a very well air-conditioned cave. That's what it is.
Yeah, but it's dark. I've been in a center one time, and all it is the glow of screens and people huddled around.
Do you ever come out after shift and you're like, oh my God, the weather's really changed?
Sometimes. Bright. It's very bright. Yeah. Yeah, especially in Texas. We get that very bright sun.
Yep.
And rain.
Lots of rain.
Are there limitations on how many years you can come back and work this show?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so as much as you can stand.
Well, the experience helps, right?
Yeah. I would think if you can do it here, you can do it anywhere.
It's a little bit different here. There's some fun, interesting rules here. It's really great to listen to. We like to sit back and listen when we have a moment over at the tent.
There was a video, or there is a video this year, of a pilot that was having a particularly large amount of trouble with the arrival procedure.
401
Lessons learned.
Romeo.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that the name of the video?
I think it was 4301 Romeo.
Yeah.
This guy was all over the place.
He was having a tough day.
He wasn't briefed at all.
Yeah.
The controllers did a great job handling it.
They did.
Keeping it safe. It was good.
Not losing their cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that just kind of drives home the point of we have procedures for a reason, and it's ultimately to keep everybody safe, right?
Right.
So it's important to brief that procedure before you fly
and
go on from there.
I've always heard that as a pilot flying into Oshkosh, never come your first time without someone in the right seat that's done it before.
That's definitely one of the best practices, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And also, Microsoft Flight Simulator a few years ago released a special program to help you navigate into Oshkosh, which I thought was terrific, because now you can do it on a simulator and at least have an idea what's going
on. You can get that sight picture. You can get the how slow do I have to fly? What does it look like? I'm sure there's a lot of models for your own specific airplane.
The most difficult part is how to rock your wings properly.
How to rock your wings. Yep.
We actually are doing a presentation called Rock Your Wings over at the NACA tent, where we talk about flying into Oshkosh, and we're able to get one of the pink shirts over sometimes to help us give that presentation and answer questions.
That's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
And do they also, you guys also talk about the departure procedure? Because it's unusual that you're not talking to tower. There's a guy waving you on the runway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting kind of way that they run things here, obviously. And the departure, you know, I think is only like 2 or 3 pages in the NOTAM, whereas the arrivals is a lot more. You know, as long as you take off, you stay below the pattern, and then you're just kind of on your way.
And you get out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, that is the key, to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever have moments where things just get so hairy, you just get on the radio and say, all right, all of you guys, get out of here. We're going to start all over from scratch.
I don't know how they do it here, but I know in my facility, I've definitely been in that situation where that everybody's just checking on. Everybody needs deviations. Everybody needs ride reports. And I can't get a word in edgewise. And that's literally all I can do. I have to talk, right? And so I'm just like, okay, everybody just stop talking. You know, if I need to talk to you, I will talk to you. If you're having an emergency, then talk to me. But until then, just stop talking. And then I take a handoff and somebody checks on, and it's somebody who didn't hear my little spiel, and like, hey, how are the rides ahead? I'm like, you know.
All it takes is one person.
All it takes is one.
Just remember, when you scream, don't push the button.
Don't push the button. That's for sure. But ultimately, you know, there's processes in place to hopefully manage that amount of traffic and manage that amount of level. And most of the time that works.
Well, you just look at the numbers here, and it's amazing how well they make it work.
Yeah.
Somehow they make it work.
Yeah.
And especially when you're working with so many pilots that are not professional, not super current, whatever.
You know, this may be one of the only times they talk to air traffic control, because you're a little VFR, Waking Warrior
lucky,
pilots.
Right?
If they're lucky, and so, you know, I just kind of want to harp on flight following for a second, if that's okay.
Sure.
Because there's one thing that air traffic control doesn't like, and that's not knowing, and that's surprises. And so if you can get flight following, we are really, really 100% on board with you getting flight following, talking to us. Now, I know some people are like, well, I fly in New York, and they're always kind of mean to me whenever I try and get flight following. If that's the case, just stay on the frequency. Just listen to the frequency. Don't disappear. Because if they need to talk to you, if they're giving a traffic call and you realize that it's me, you can be like, hey, that's me. What do you need? Right? Or how can I help? Or something along those lines. And I think that is a very important skill, or just kind of mindset to have, even if you don't want to talk to air traffic control, find the frequency, dial it in, and just listen. You know, if anything, it's just some background noise, but it plugs you into the system, even if you don't really want to be plugged into the system.
Right, you can still keep an eye on what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's still times you have to be plugged into the system.
Yeah, for sure.
In a high traffic area like New York.
Yeah. Yeah,
you just have to stay out of New York.
You just
or you can just stay out of New York, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That works.
Go away.
Yep.
Yeah, we live in Philly. In fact, I'm underneath the approach, the 30-mile ring. Hmm. So, yeah, you're always... And as a private pilot, especially like a student pilot, like you're doing a solo,
yeah,
these guys are playing with airliners and big planes, and there's a lot of... You don't want to bother them without, can I have flight following, please?
Yeah. I think, and that's a pretty big myth as well, right? They think that they're making air traffic control's lives harder. And maybe it's a little bit more challenging or a little bit more difficult, but that's why we're paid. That's what we do, right? That's what we are supposed to do. And so if you need flight following because you want to make sure that you're plugged into the system, just ask. You know, if we can provide that for you, we will.
Think of us as an extra set of eyes for you as well.
Definitely.
So we're here to help.
Extra set of eyes locked in a basement somewhere.
Yeah.
not locked.
We can leave when we want. It's not Hotel California.
Oh, I thought it was like a time lock. Yeah, yeah.
Plugged in. We can go about 10 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We can make it to the table with all the food at the end of the row.
That begs the question. How do you guys work bathroom breaks?
Well, it's you. I don't know if you want to talk about.
Well, we try not to work more than 2 hours on position, so that's in our contract that we won't, but it varies. Every facility is different, from 30 minutes to 2 hours. Some, unfortunately, they have to work a little bit more on position.
Okay, so that's built into the system.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So, in other words, you're rotating various areas during your normal shift.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. And, of course, you've always got, like, a supervisor or a floater.
Yeah, or controller in charge or somebody just kind of managing the area.
Okay. Yeah. Well, where are we can go visit you at the NACA
booth. At the NACA booth. We're right at the base of the tower. Come by, say hello, see the vest, see the prop hat.
Yes, the prop hat. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. All right, Marcus and Rachel, I want to thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Anytime. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.